Good morning. Just make sure things are plugged in here correctly. I'm 9:36 a.m. on October the 21st, a Monday morning. I waited until after the fog burned off and the light came up before going out today. But I did want to walk today because I haven't walked for 3 days, and I got a lot to talk about. Ooh, almost 18 minutes, Mom. I was listening to music, but it wasn't my normal foot swinging music. It was a combination of other tunes, including a Natalie McMaster jig. Some Lindsey Stirling. I was a little more laid back this morning, which is just as well. I don't want to overdo after 3 days of missing this morning walk. So yeah, I'm back from Mile High Con, and it was a lot of fun. I feel very much renewed this morning. I felt it particularly coming home last night, but quite renewed, quite ready to get back into it. Quite ready to do a book in November. I'm going to do NaNoWriMo. I've said it before. I'm much more adamant about it right now. This is something that is going to happen. I'm going to try to go write every day over at Far Library, which, while far from Central Greeley, is actually only a few blocks from the house, so need to go, between now and then, I need to go get the battery in my netbook upgraded from the cheap 2-hour battery to the more substantial 6-hour battery. It's not like I really need the battery, but being able to say, okay, I can go in and sit down and work for 4 or 5 hours without having to mess with power cords. Go in, sit down, power up, type. And no power cords needed. No reason to waste time looking for power strips, etc. So I like that. I want to upgrade my netbook to the bigger battery. I also need to get some fresh marble mice. My left mouse button on almost all my mice is now worn out. It will click, but holding and dragging is problematic. So selecting text is somewhat an issue. Dragging text is, or even file names, is quite frequently problematic. And I can't stand the little square pointer pads. I never developed a facility for dealing with them fluidly. So, yeah, marble mice. Which means I need to get some audio work done. I need to get some stuff done this week and next week so that I don't have anything to do starting November 1st, except the Hermit of Lammas Wood. So, let me see. Some book recommendations. Let me get these out of the way. I talked about Lady of Devices last week and said it was by Adina Shelley. It's Shelley Adina. Those of you who followed up actually probably figured that out by now. I've finished the 4 books, and apparently book 5 is either out or will soon be. And I'm actually looking forward to finding it and reading it. Shelley Adina. They're novellas. They're relatively short. But terrible amounts of fun. And I enjoy them greatly. a new voice. Somebody that I have not ever heard of before, not too surprisingly, named Anne Catherine Davis, a name you will probably not be able to remember any longer than I can, but the book is The Gifted, and it's a post-apocalyptic alien invasion. And when I first heard this, I thought, oh, great, terrific. Another dystopian, post-apocalyptic alien invasion. Again. I went to one of her readings because I was interested in hearing what Warren Hammond was up to. She happened to be his co-author in the reading hour. And Warren Hammond is coming out with some good stuff. His cop series, Cop Killer, was the last book in the series. This sort of a science fiction police procedural, with mostly police procedural, but apparently like J.D. Robb's future, near future. It's science fiction as much as it is police procedural. And he's got a new book coming out that's much more science fiction-y. And unfortunately, he's a mainstream published author. And so it'll be a year or more before we see that book. But the reading that he did, the segment that he read, it sounded really, really cool. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. But Anna Catherine Davis, The Gifted. Young writer, very young in terms chronologically and in terms of her craft. But if this is what she can do as a young writer, this is her first novel. If this is what she can do as a young writer, this is going to be somebody you want to keep an eye on. Her sales ranks are ridiculously poor. Although, right in line with other small press published books that have a price tag that's $3 too tall. I've talked to her at some length over the course of the weekend and suggested that if she can possibly manage to convince her publisher to drop the price to $6.99, she'll more than double her sales. And that's a significant amount. Because right now what she needs is audience, and it's what she's lacking. And she has very little in the way of social presence. Have a truck. Take two, they're small. Holy cow. Two diesel pickups going in opposite directions. Loudly. Anyway, The Gifted. I've grabbed a sample of it to see if she just picked the bit that was good and not the rest of it. But what I heard was really quite remarkable. And you know that I don't say that kind of stuff lightly. Which leads me to another panel that I went to yesterday morning. I wasn't on it, but I was in the audience. They were co-guests of honor, Kat Valente and Shauna McGuire. Both, they apparently have won double Hugos for work that they collaborated on. I don't know, I don't follow paranormal, so I'm not sure what their work was for, but they are very well thought of. They're people that I know are very popular and sell very well. Sean in particular has, I don't know how many books. It's quite a long list. And she even writes this Mira Grant. Now, I could have sworn I knew Mira Grant. I've read Mira Grant. I've got some Mira Grant books. But none of the books that were listed there, so I'm not quite sure what the there listed in the program under her bibliography. So maybe they just listed the most recent ones, I don't know. But here's the thing. Here's a woman with two Hugos. I don't know how many books. At least a dozen, probably 20, maybe more. And she's hoping to earn enough to get rid of her day job this year, Monk Pole. Now, I was beginning to think that perhaps, you know, maybe I'm overstating just how little mainstream publishing offers an author. But when I see somebody who has all the earmarks of not just successful mid-lister, but genre A-list, who still needs a day job, that's just sort of like, no, there is something desperately wrong with this picture. There is something desperately wrong with this picture. So that was enlightening. That was on one hand confirming for me, and on the other hand quite amazing to learn. We had a panel yesterday on the current nature of publishing, the good, bad, and the ugly, which kind of drifted here and there, up and down, but it was relatively straightforward. But one thing was abundantly clear, and that's that new authors have apparently a bottomless hunger for good information about how to begin. And the guy next to me, somebody I've sat on panels before and I can never remember his name, but he's a very sharp guy. In our closing arguments, we each had one last word before the time ran out, and his was, finish the book before you start worrying about anything that we've said here. And that's somebody should have said that sooner, because I can't tell you the number of times that I've gone around with people about, okay, well, this is how you do this piece, and this is how you do that piece, and this is what you do a long way, and they haven't finished the book. It's like, no, finish the book. Finish the book before you start trying to build an audience, because you can't build an audience for vapor. And I actually said something along those lines, and you can see everybody in the audience go, really? Yes, I'm sorry. Nonfiction may be a little bit different. Nonfiction, if you're a nonfiction blogger, and yeah, there was one guy who does a sports newsletter, and he wants to ramp it up, and he doesn't know how to build his audience. So I gave him the 1,000 true fans strategy and told him to Google it. And that's the strategy. He's already got 800 people on a mailing list. So shouldn't be too long before he has 1,000 true fans. Now, not all 800 of those are going to be 1,000 true fans, but it's a start. Let's see, what else? Ian Tregellis is just as nice a guy as I remember. I met him a couple, 3 years ago. They used to have this thing called Meet an Author Speed Dating, where you would have authors sitting around the room in chairs, and then every 3 minutes or every 5 minutes or something, you'd ring a bell, and all the readers would change chairs, and circulate around the room until you got a chance to meet them all. And Ian Tregellis and I were side by side 1 year. And we had a lovely visit because there weren't anybody in the chairs. The authors significantly outnumbered the visitors. And I know why. It's because it was a crappy time of day. And early in the program before people actually arrived. So it was kind of problematic. I think that would have made a really fun Saturday afternoon thing, or even a Saturday late afternoon, early evening thing with beverage of choice in hand. That could be quite charming. It could be quite a lot of fun. But the way that it was implemented, no, it was problematic. I think they gave it up a couple years ago. Anyway, I met him and remember him. He's stuck in my mind because, A, he's a very clever guy. And he has a unique look. He has one of those faces that you won't forget once you've seen it. Quite long, quite narrow, shock of blonde hair, pointed chin, and also a PhD. He works at Sandia Labs, so he's a physicist, and I think he's a nuclear physicist, and he writes these sort of interesting and kind of out there near science fiction pieces. Maybe they are science fiction, I'm not sure. The way he describes them is that they're more like action adventure than anything. And to be frank, I haven't read any of them, but he's a fascinating guy. And I always remembered meeting him because it was, you know, an odd name, an interesting face, interesting background. Another PhD, and I had a PhD at the time, so it was another PhD writing fiction. There are quite a number of us, apparently. And so I got a chance to go congratulate him on his success, because his fourth book's coming out. And of course, he's not interested in giving up his day job, so this works out perfectly fine for him, because he has, you know, write a book, and he has an agent, and the agent shops the book around, handles that whole end of the business, and he's not making many sales, he's not selling many books, he's not making much money, but he's having a good time. And he was the Toastmaster here, so he's kind of gone from obscurity to the public stage in 3-4 short years, which was quite astonishing and quite delightful to talk to him and to renew our acquaintance. He remembered my face, he remembered doing that event with me, but he couldn't remember my name, which is not too surprising. I don't have a name like Ian Tregellis. Nathan Lowell is a bit New England common. If it was like Nathaniel Owen, if I was writing as Nathaniel Owen, perhaps it would stick out more. At any rate, got to meet him. The person I was looking to meet all weekend long was T. Jackson King, who wrote The Retread Shop, I read earlier in the year. And if you have not read The Retread Shop, $2.99 Kindle. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It reads like it's retro, because it is retro. It was written in the 80s. King was one of the mid-listers, one of the middle-tier mid-listers in the 80s, who was kind of pushed out, always overshadowed by the main, and a bit pushed out, I think, by the new era that came in the 90s and the 20s. The 90s and the 2000s. So, he's got his rights back. He's republishing them now. He's putting, in the case of The Retread Shop, he's got the original cover art. But he's getting really kind of retro robot looking covers. Retro science fiction covers on the other stuff. And I now am the proud owner of a signed copy of Stellar Assassin. I'm actually looking forward to reading it. But he does an excellent job. And he's a fascinating guy. And I looked for him all weekend and didn't see him. Oh my God, really? Oh, 19 minutes on the back half. Not good. Anyway, I looked for him all weekend and never found him. I wasn't on any of his panels. I never managed to spot him in any of the rooms. And my last panel, the one on publishing, he was sitting in the front row. So I got to sit and talk with him for about an hour. And I'm going to try to get on to Bhuvanacon next year. It's in the middle of the summer down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I'm going to try to see if I can get into Bhuvanacon next summer and get down and hang out with Ian and Tom King and any of the other folks that are down that way. It should be fun. It should be a good time. But right now, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.